I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at that. And I'm not talking about the FBI necessarily, but intelligence agencies more broadly.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I don't. I guess you could. I think there was a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
I like that big pause there from Attorney General Barr. It's you could almost see like the gif of the dog blinking several times during it and saying, yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. And that brings up so much as we get started hour number three of Mobile Mornings here at FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, text line open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. And listen, this is started off the second day of testimony, but first day, you said it yesterday perfectly, and it happens so many times, whether it's testimony or if they're doing confirmation hearings. Quite often, it's just politicians not asking questions. They're truly rhetorical questions because the politicians just want to get on the record having said this or that or the other.
Yeah, they will talk for their entire 5 minutes or whatever the allotted time might be, and maybe not even get a question in sometimes.
They just want to be on the record.
Yeah, and there was one moment, I don't know if it was the Barr, when they were questioning him, or at some point, I think it was Barr, and one of the people asking him a question actually asked a question, and he answered, and they said, oh, I wasn't asking you a question. I need to find that exact quote, but something along those lines.
Yeah, so this is a couple things, a couple takeaways from yesterday. Number one, it's the refusal, as the news agencies are saying, and I think that's fair, the refusal to answer whether the administration has seen the investigative report from Mueller. He's the second day of saying whether the White House had seen Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigative report, though he did open the door wider to the possibility that Congress would see more of it than had been previously acknowledged. They're talking about like a color-coded, redacted. And we talked with Jeff Poore about this yesterday. In the political world, I'm a person that wants the truth out there. Now, if you want to take out, you need to, methods and tactics and those things, how our intelligence groups get the information, that's smart to do. Mm-hmm. And there's grand jury testimony that's taken out because you don't want to have somebody, an accusation made that is false, that's sitting out there against them from grand jury testimony. So that's good as well. But yeah, I would like to see. I think it serves President Trump best to have as much of the Mueller report released as they can. Even if there's something that's embarrassing or whatever, it gets it off the table. I would say the counterintuitive way to think of this, if you're a Democrat, you don't want this released or you want it massively redacted. I think your perfect play is release enough that it might be embarrassing. Who knows if it's going to be embarrassing or not, but if you think it is, release enough to be embarrassing to the president with huge sections redacted so you can sit and say, well, we know what's in those sections.
Yeah, we see what Barr's hiding from us.
Yes.
That's what they would say.
That's the perfect political play for the Democrats. So I would say the best play for the president is to have as much of this released as possible.
And that seems to be what the president is asking for. He said, you know, I don't care. Go ahead and release it. He already got the headline that he wanted when Barr came out with that 4-page report that said no collusion. Now, when asked about it just a couple days ago, because now this testimony has been going on for 2 days, and when asked what he will redact from the Mueller report once it's released and whether he would redact things to protect the president, he said that he would not redact things just because it might damage President Trump's reputation. He was asked about the reasons he has provided for redacting the report, and one of the things he said is content that would, quote, unduly infringe on the personal privacy and reputational interests of peripheral third parties. A Democrat from New Hampshire, Gene Shaheen, asked if that meant he was hiding things to protect Trump's reputational interests. He said, no, I'm talking about people in private life, not public office holders. So there's probably, I mean, a 400-page report from Mueller, you know, there's probably tens, hundreds of people mentioned in this report, mm-hmm. and a lot of them didn't sign up for the public life,
right.
I would imagine. So it sounds like he is trying to protect private citizens in that. But color-coded redactions, I'm interested in what that
means. Yeah, I don't get why it has to be like...
Maybe some would be national security would be... And
but what does
some
it matter if it says...
Life?
Okay, if it says this... Okay, maybe it does. Maybe if you say the things in orange are national security, the things in yellow are people that aren't directly involved or haven't been been, you know, convicted of anything, then you can go through the document and say, well, most of these redactions are about third parties, or most of these redactions are about national security. And maybe that makes sense.
There were a couple Democrats that talked about Barr's mentioning of spying on the Trump campaign. And of course, they don't seem to be very happy about it right now. Nancy Pelosi said that his remarks were very dismaying. And Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut said that Barr should, quote, retract his unfounded, irresponsible claim.
Okay, so Barr was confirmed 54-45 mm-hmm. in the Senate. All right. And I guess somebody abstained there. So he's confirmed. He was a person that they could get confirmed. Remember, a lot of times we'll talk about when President Trump, or you said it with President Obama or whatever, when a president puts somebody up for confirmation, they're going to get the person who is most in their ideological sphere, but they can get confirmed. Remember this. I mean, people say the president ought to nominate so-and-so. I said, the so-and-so would never get confirmed. So, I mean, just to do that, you see that with Supreme Court justices, you see that. Okay, so there was enough consensus around Barr that there were Democrats that were friendly to the idea of Barr being the AG. So if they come out now and act like, you know, that they knew he was a hack and, you know, I don't know that you can have your cake and eat it too. Now, there are 45 Democrats that can absolutely have their cake here because mm-hmm. they didn't vote to confirm. But those that did, the four that voted to confirm, actually it was, I think, five, because one Republican didn't.
I think Rand Paul was the one who didn't vote to confirm.
So there were actually five Democrats. They better sit on their hands.
Yeah, and Doug Jones was one of those Democrats.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, with the 400-page report, if it does come out, and depending on how much is redacted, you're exactly right. If a ton is redacted, the Democrats will be able to say, well, what is he hiding from us? There's this and this. But what if what does come out fits right in line with the 4-page report that Barr came out with after he got his hands on the Mueller report? Where will we go from there? Do you think it's just over with the Democrats? There's no way, right? They're going to keep carrying this on and on and on. But on the other hand, if he releases the Mueller report and it seems like he didn't do his due diligence on the 4-page report from the Attorney General, then that'll cause a whole nother set of circumstances.
All right. Get some calls on this at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, in local news, this is one of these rumors that's been bouncing around for 2 or 3 weeks, at least in my sphere, and you couldn't confirm it, so I wasn't going to run with it. But it is confirmed now. GolfQuest has a new captain. Oh, I get it. That's Lawrence Becker at AL.com. GolfQuest has a new captain, and former Mobile Mayor Mike Dow has a new mandate to lead fundraising and provide strategic guidance for the museum's board. So at the helm, right there along the String of Pearls waterfront, former Mobile Mayor Mike Dow. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Rob Hulbert joins us. Y'all stick around. Phone number 343-0106. We're coming right back. Ready 20 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings Thursday style. Glad to have you along. Head to the phones and text line in just 1 second. Oh, on the Twitter feed too for this National Pet Day, mm-hmm. the missus did add in the picture of Gary Finese the fish.
I love the name.
I had the dog pics. I did not have any pics of the fish, but she got one. So now we have all four of our critters represented here.
She said Gary's camera shy.
Yes, he is. He has the fake Amazon sword plant in his tank that he's hiding behind quite often. Hey, speaking of the missus, she was the one that kind of got this started, using less toxic or non-toxic cleaners in our house. And she'd been doing that for about a year, mixing up kind of what I used to call the witch's brew of things. The ideas were good. They were organic substances, but to be frank with you, they didn't do a great job cleaning. You had to use a ton of it, and it didn't really clean well. And we found out about the folks over at Grove. Grove makes healthier home products accessible and affordable. Over 500,000 families shopping grove.co for non-toxic dish soap and plant-based skincare. And they make cleaners, and they supply cleaners that are non-toxic but actually work. Everything at Grove is healthier for you and for the planet, and it really works. That's the key, right? Grove delivers natural brands you'll love, like Mrs. Meyer's or Seventh Generation, Burt's Bees, and Grove products straight to your doorstep. We got our order a couple weeks ago, and mop wood floor cleaner. We're using a bunch. We have wood floors downstairs. Use that. The shower spray with the eucalyptus mint smells fantastic and really works. But my favorite thing we got is the Mrs. Meyer Spring Multi-Surface Spray. And truly multi-surface. So we use it all through the house. And I remember last night I was using it on the front of the refrigerator because I have children. And also using it on the granite. And, you know, it's funny, if you have granite, there are only certain things that will clean granite without leaving like a haze on it.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff does it, and it does it quite well, and it smells fantastic. Right now, the folks at Grove have a special offer for new customers. You'll get a free cleaning set with limited edition scents, and you can get free Mrs. Meyer Spring Hand Soap, Spring Dish Soap, Mrs. Meyer Spring Multi-Surface Spray I was just talking about, plus their Grove Collaborative Cleaning Caddy and the Grove Collaborative Walnut Scrubber Sponges. You'll get this when you make your first order of $20 or more. Try Grove out now before the exclusive spring offer runs out. Limited time, y'all can get a three-piece cleaning set from Mrs. Meyer Spring Scents, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. An incredible deal, a ton of free stuff, so you got to check it out. Check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/mobile. That's grove.co, so not .com. That's always a thing there. .co, not .com/mobile. Check them out today. All right, 8:23, and by the way, coming up in just a little bit, Rob Hulbert from Lanyap will join us at around 8:35. We'll talk a handful of things. Annexation and the city of Mobile will be one of them. Donnie says here, if the different intelligence groups actually spied on the Trump campaign, is that more egregious than Watergate? I don't know. You know, the Watergate thing is a, it's been linked through a couple times since that testimony yesterday. This could be like Watergate. I don't know. You go back and see the things Nixon was doing. I mean, absolute abuse of office and using the government intelligence agencies for political gain. Was the Obama administration doing something similar? I think that has yet to be proven. I think what Attorney General Barr said yesterday is interesting because it leaves a door open to what might have been happening. But to say for sure it means it happened, I think, you know, Democrats jump a gun. Republicans and supporters of the president, be cool on this. There may be something here, and I think it's worth a deep dive into, but make sure you don't get ahead of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the rhetoric get ahead of the facts. That's kind of what I'm seeing right now. What do you think? John's in Mobile. He's up first. Hey, John.
I think the question...
Get out on that handset for us so we can hear your
hold on.
Okay, we want to hear your dulcet tones in their full fidelity. Making the switch.
There it is.
Oh, wow. Man, so okay. Much better.
Clarity.
Well, got to get rid of that thing. I think in time, the question that's going to be asked, based on what I've read from a lot of different sites, is what did Obama know and when did he know it?
Right. Or
I think he was spying.
Yeah.
We know that Comey and the boys lied to the FISA court in saying that the dossier was verified. We know that they didn't tell the FISA court that Hillary Clinton paid for the information. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of this crap trying to destroy Trump was to cover for Obama and the illegalities that he has done over 8 years.
Okay, well, that's a theory right now. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think what should be done here, if Barr has seen something in this Mueller report that makes him believe strongly enough that in front of the committee he says, yeah, spying was going on. I like the fact that Barr didn't say the motivation for the spying. At this point, that to me seems open-minded. He said, spying's going on. We're going to look into the when, why, and who of this spying. There you go, John. I appreciate the call.
Well, you know, it all really kind of started with the alleged collusion, because there was, the Democrats said that Trump was colluding with Russia, and that's why this whole investigation was said to have begun. So I think it'll come down to, was that the true reason? Did they have actual evidence to believe that there could be collusion in the Trump campaign? And if so, was that enough evidence to begin spying on the campaign? I mean, I'm no lawyer, I'm no intelligence investigator or anything, but don't you think that'll kind of be what it comes down to, whether there was enough evidence that they needed to investigate Trump for collusion back then, and whether that was warranted at the time.
Exactly. And was it, you know, there's so many parts to this, and there's going to be so many opinions. This is why I want to just wait and kind of see what the facts say. But it is an investigation launched specifically into the Trump campaign, and it uses the cloak of the Russian collusion to mask it. Or truly was it a Russian collusion investigation that led logically and honestly to looking into that campaign? I think those, I know that doesn't fit well with the pundit partisan world we live in right now, but I think the wiser way to look at this is wait, there's something of interest. I would argue Democrats that say there's nothing here. For Barr to get up there and say that yesterday, that wasn't just a throwaway, disposable political comment. He is on the record saying mm-hmm. that. So that means a lot to me as well. So I'd say don't you want the truth?
Oh, yeah. I would love if we had...
If you love President Trump or hate President Trump, don't you want the truth?
If we just had a completely nonpartisan group, which is impossible these days, but just a completely nonpartisan investigative group that was able to say, all right, this is what the Democrats have done. This is what the Republicans have done. Here you go, American people. This is the entire truth.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could figure things out and clear this thing up. And but either way, whatever reports come out, I mean, we've seen it with Barr's report on the Mueller investigation, and we'll see it later this week when he releases most of the Mueller report, or however much he doesn't
redact.
Whatever's
not redacted, yeah.
We'll see what comes from that. But if that comes out and it turns out that Barr's report on the Mueller report was true, that there is no reason to believe there's collusion, and there wasn't enough to say that Trump obstructed justice, then where do the Democrats go from there?
That's a good question. And by the way, too, so somebody who redacts is a redactor. What's your job? I'm a redactor. And by the way, too, they have said specifically the charge against Assange from the United States.
Yeah.
By the way, we're just one of a group of folks looking for Assange's...
Yeah, so all day, you know how they start to release the names for the NCAA March Madness bracket kind of one at a time? We're going to, over the rest of the day and maybe the week, there will be charges against Julian Assange that are let out. And of course, Julian Assange was arrested in London at the Ecuadorian embassy. Ecuador's President Lenin Moreno said that it was a sovereign decision due to repeated violations to international conventions and daily life. He's been there since 2012, and that's been the only thing keeping him safe from all of these countries that want to try him in court. Sweden wants him for sex charges, but the U.S. wants him for spying. And they have released their first charge, the United States' first charge, on Julian Assange for conspiring with Chelsea Manning to break into a classified government computer. And Sean, you're not going to believe this, but Assange already has one person on his side, and that would be none other than Edward Snowden.
Yeah, well,
coming to his defense.
That doesn't surprise me there. The Assange stuff, I think there's so much gray in the Assange issue. If you're looking for conspiracies, which I know the conspiracies are already out this morning with his arrest, it's not really him, right?
Because he's got this big white beard, kind of looks like Saddam Hussein when he was pulled out of the hole.
The spider hole.
Yeah.
Did they get Assange out of a spider hole? But he... he is, in my opinion, he is not entirely one way or another. I don't think he's, he can absolutely be described as a villain, but also I would bear to say that he can be described as a hero to some degree as well. I know that's unpopular. The guy is not monolithic. He is not a two-dimensional character. Of course, he'll have his two-dimensional backside and three-dimensional backside and a sling.
Yeah.
Governments all over. We'll talk more about that coming up. Plus, we chat with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. All that straight ahead right here on Mobile Mornings. Y'all stay close.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. Now, every morning we talk about some great deals on the lot at McConnell Automotive. But this month, April, the deals of all deals. Tell us about it.
Well, what's cool, Dalton, is I think everybody likes to save money. But the other thing people, I think, like to save is hassle and time. And, you know, what we try to do every day, Dalton, is do that for people by just being transparent. And that's kind of a crazy concept in the car business these days to put a price out and actually honor it and make it easy and not have to negotiate. But we're proud of doing that all the time. But this sale, Dalton, is even more special than normal. And an example would be is every Buick that I have, Enclaves, the Encore, the Envisions, all those beautiful SUVs are all at least 16% off the actual sticker price. And then you got GMCs, and a lot of them, Dalton, are over 20% off. And all that really means is if you're out there listening and you want to save over 13 grand off the sticker price without having to work with the salesperson back and forth with the manager and really put some money to your bottom line and save heading into the spring season, you just need to shop McConnell Automotive and do it fast. Dalton, I think we have 19 Z71s left on these sales, for example, and we got a great selection of Yukons and these new AT4 and Z71 2019 trucks. Those things are on sale too, buddy, so we want people to act fast and, man, just take advantage of these savings.
That is some good stuff. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Man, y'all have a great Masters start to this week.
That's right. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. Rob Holbert from Landnav joins us in just a second. I do want to grab one last call here. Jeff is in Fairhope, held over the break. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff. This is a Grandmaster Derek. What is this Jeff business?
I don't know. It said Jeff on here. You need to talk to the crew back there, how they got Jeff out of it. What's up, Derek?
Nothing. I'm going to pick on Dalton real quick.
Not me.
So, Dalton, before we start, you said, gee, I wish we had somewhere where we could just get the news. You know, I wish that we had, you know, where we could just get the news, you know, not just one side of it. And that was possible until he was arrested today in London and extradited. WikiLeaks is the only news agency, if you want to call it news agency, that's never had a redacted story. You had everything in the world
TMZ.
As far as a fair doctrine, and it has been crushed.
I was talking about the Mueller report specifically. I said I wanted a nonpartisan investigative group.
Leaked out to the, you know, to WikiLeaks, and you would have got the actual truth, because everything that he's ever gotten has been the truth.
But part of me, you know, like I said going in the break, I got this weird feeling about Assange, puts me probably on my own island. The people think he's the savior. I don't 100% agree with that, and people think he's the devil. I don't 100% agree with that either, because some of the things that some of the information comes out, and I do believe has gotten people killed, right? You know, intelligence assets and those things. So
yeah, now also too, if you say it's gotten people killed, you know, the whole Seth Rich thing, you know, this kind of goes back to a lot of that, and also to the whole Russian narrative. Kim.com came out and said that it came from Seth Rich, who was assassinated in the streets of Washington, D.C. He was robbed, but nothing was taken. That the information came from Seth Rich. It's a whole WikiLeaks, you know, Julian Assange even offered $200,000 reward for information leading to, you know, information on who killed, you know, Seth Rich. So you had somebody who actually was telling the truth, and this is what happens. Nobody wants to tell the truth anymore. And when you do tell the truth, this is what, and nothing he's ever said has been biased to one side or the other side. It's just been the truth, which is a very uncomfortable thing. And so when you do that, well, this is what happens.
All right.
That's a very scary point for us to be at, that you can't find out anything. Everything's going to be hidden from you. And the one person that does come out and say, hey, yeah, check this out, this happened, they get suicided.
Now we go off into the major conspiracies. Derek, we'll have to do a whole show on that in the future. As always, I appreciate hearing from you, Jeff. Sorry, Derek. All right, let's go to let's go to Scott, or as some people know him, Rob Holbert from Landnav. Hey, man.
Good morning.
Morning. So, any take from you on the Assange? I think it sounds like the Ecuadorian embassy got sick of him not doing his dishes, laying around on the couch, not getting a job.
He looked kind of filthy. He looked like maybe he hadn't bathed in a long time, and just kind of he was lying around in the middle of the embassy, just not doing anything. Yeah, he kind of had that look.
You've been binge watching House of Cards, something like that.
Yeah, just you stayed too long.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm kind of like you, Sean, on this thing. I see both sides on this issue of, you know, I think that there are people who would immediately say that any kind of governmental, you know, anything the government deems or says is classified should never be released. you know, the government tried that with the Pentagon Papers, as we remember, recall, and that turned out to be a really integral part of a very big part of ending the Vietnam War. And so, you say, well, people die. People may have died from information coming out. How many people die from information not coming out?
That's a tough one. You don't ever know that one, right?
Right. But I'm just saying, you say, well, the government can say something's classified, and it may be very important to know. I think there's good in both. Good side, bad side in both of them. You have to be responsible about it, but I'm not saying everything he's ever done is great, but I do think there are some things that we needed to know.
All right, big stack of stuff to talk about here in the new land. Yeah, first of all, the Restaurant Week thing. What are we doing with Restaurant Week?
Restaurant Week kicked off yesterday. Go and get your lanyap and find out there's 38 participating restaurants, and they have all sorts of different great deals. You go in and eat at these places, try some new stuff. A lot of the restaurants are doing some things they don't normally do. So even if it's an old favorite, you may go there and they're mixing it up a little bit. So try them out. Fill out your card there, put it in, and then you're eligible for some pretty awesome prizes. I mean, there's a lot of these restaurants are giving us gift cards. We did two packages last year, this year as well. And there's some great stuff in there. There's a lot of dining opportunities that come out of that bag, so you definitely want to be entered in it.
Okay, so I'm going to carry that with me because I am going to go down for at least a night, if not two, for some tunes with the South Sounds Music Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe a chance for me to hear some new music and check out some new food. That's not bad.
Yeah, just tell them you want the Restaurant Week specials. Know what they are. Go in there. There's a menu on online at Restaurant Week at Lanyap Mobile. Restaurant Week, you can check that out, and then also on in the paper itself there's a whole menu there.
All right, I want to talk about your column in the new Lanyap, the new dam, the torpedoes, is it worth the chase? This is a great read. I want people to check out, and y'all can read this and then check out the podcast from last week when District Attorney Ashley Rich was on Midday Mobile talking about this as well. We're talking about pursuit, right? Law enforcement pursuing a fleeing suspect and what happens.
Yeah, yeah. And Gabe Tynes has a really good news article in the Baldwin version of the paper and online as well on this matter. But, April Fool's Day, there was a police chase that in Baldwin County that started with, I guess, somebody swerving on the road. A deputy sheriff ended up chasing these three individuals in a car up and down the interstate. They got off the interstate a couple times, turned around, got back on the interstate, and then at some point, the guy cuts a U-turn in the middle of the interstate. The officer follows suit, and then they start heading the wrong way on the interstate with the officer in pursuit as these cars are going against traffic, ends up in a fiery crash that kills father and son who are driving along, and then also killed the three people in the car. And so you say, well, what is the big issue with it is that when you look at the standard operating procedures for police chase from the Baldwin County Sheriff's Department, it appears that just about everything was violated in that regard.
But so what was already protocol was violated?
The protocol is that, number one, that it shouldn't be, the major part of the protocol is that any time that they're engaged in something that is dangerous, that appears it would be dangerous to the public or the officers, that they withdraw from this thing. I would certainly think going down the interstate at 100 miles an hour is probably one thing, but going the wrong way is obvious. I think the other part, he was in an unmarked car. It says that if you're in an unmarked car, you're not supposed to be involved in a chase, especially for something that's a misdemeanor. There are a number of things
And specific to this one story, but in the let's pull back here and look in the general subject of police chases, because this is something you and I have talked about over the years. We're not the only ones out there when you pursue and when you don't pursue. And
right.
I'll play the other side of this for a second, and it was something brought up by District Attorney Rich, who said, but if we don't pursue, what is this going to say to the criminals? I mean, if they know that they can do something, you know, if you go the wrong way, go too fast, whatever, and they're going to, you know, dog off the pursuit, then, I mean, that just green lights the criminals to run.
Well, I mean, I guess you could ask the people, the family of the people who were killed, if that is a bigger deal to them, if they would rather have these three people who, at this point, all we know is they swerved in a vehicle, if that was more important than...
Right, but you know what you're doing. What you're
alive,
doing.
You know, I mean, okay. I'm just saying, it's, you know, there's not, it's not like, I mean, Sean, I think it's one thing when you say, okay, this person shot up a restaurant and killed 15 people and they're on the run. That's one thing. But when you go and you say, okay, we see a guy swerving and then we flip on the blue lights and they take off and it turns into a really high speed chase on the interstate and with some behavior that's really crazy. I mean, at this point, everybody's aware of what vehicle it is. The police have been alerted. I mean, the chase went on and on. I mean, it's one of those things. I think it makes a lot more sense, at least to me, and obviously it does to the sheriff's department because that's their standard operating procedure.
Right.
To withdraw from some of this stuff.
No, you're right. In this specific case, I think it all points to what you're saying. I agree, but in the I'm somebody who's back and forth on this. I can argue the side you're arguing. At the same side, I can, you know, law enforcement folks will tell you too that may seem like a routine, you know, just or not routine, but just a misdemeanor, somebody doing something that doesn't seem big, but that person in that vehicle goes on to kill somebody or something like that, and you didn't stop it. You know, that's your job, public safety, right?
I get that, but by the same token, you can't. I mean, I think that anybody who's the reason there are standard operating procedures is because there is that point, which is say, okay, is this worth it? Is this more dangerous than the potential for a person who perhaps committed a misdemeanor? Doing something worse, you know, to say, well, you know, somebody who swerved and we're going to take the leap of logic that they're then going to become a killer, murderer at that point.
It's the same. You're making, what about those families? I'm making the same kind of one-sided argument the other way. But you could say, doesn't that, if there's knowledge that the police won't pursue, you know, if you do X, Y, and Z, doesn't that motivate people to drive crazy in the first place, the people that would be suspects?
Well, I don't think that, I mean, not pursuing doesn't mean that you're not going to put out an APB saying this car is doing this, these people are doing this, they got to stop somewhere. I think that's why the procedures are there. I mean, the police realize the potential exists for something catastrophic occurring like this, and when you have a situation where somebody just takes off and they are driving at really high rates of speed and the officer's chasing them, you know, you're in danger. I mean, it's also one of the number one things that kill law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
is in these chases.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a very dangerous situation for everybody. If they call it in and say, hey, we're looking for this vehicle, next time they pull up at a Stuckey's, then there's a bigger opportunity to catch them there without all this stuff going on. I think you look at it and say, there's a procedure in place for a reason. Saying we're not going to chase them ever, I mean, it also, a lot of it too, Sean, is predicated by what did they do in the first place.
Okay, and we're going to go to the break here. We'll come back and talk about this, but just a few of the texts that are coming in here, Rob. I mean, one texter says, innocent people don't run from the police. Dan says, if you don't chase, everyone will run. Jason says, it's a double-edged sword when it comes to police chases. Speaking from experience as a law enforcement officer, if the chase ends well with no injuries and the bad guy off the streets, then the public praises you. If it ends bad like this one, they want to run you out on a rail. So we'll talk about this when we get back. More with Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. New copy of Lanyap out now with your guide to eating. Like I needed a guide. Well, I probably could use a guide to even restaurant week. We'll talk more about that. And annexation. Oh, yeah. That's the multi-syllable word that has a lot of people talking in Mobile County. 855, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here and good to talk to our buddy Rob Holbert with Landyap. New Landyap out on the streets now. Where do they get their copy, Rob?
Where do they get their copy? They can get them in 1,500 different locations in Mobile and Baldwin counties. You can also check us out online at landyapmobile.com. And there's several different plans there for either viewing online or getting delivered at home. So do both.
All right, good stuff. And, yeah, y'all need to check out Is It Worth the Chase, this discussion in the new Landyap in Rob's column. Before we run out of time, though, I do want to talk annexation with you. I've wanted all this week, I wonder what Rob thinks. As Darby Creek comes in, a neighborhood now into the city of Mobile, but there's probably going to be a lot more of this discussion going forward, don't you believe?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely coming in, and it's a lot more a lot more homes coming in, a lot more people coming in. And so it's going to be a big deal. You know, it's going to be a big thing. You know, the argument being made by some of those who don't want to see as much annexation is that it's going to cost more than it brings in. The other side says, no, it brings in more than it costs. I think, you know, if they can show that it's bringing in revenue, I see absolutely no reason not to do this. And I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. Do you want Mobile to be ringed in eventually by other municipalities, or do you think it makes more sense to grow the city? The city has been the same size for 50 years. You know, the concept of let's grow up versus growing out, I think, has not really worked very well for Mobile in terms of just saying we're going to do this. And we're just going to let those areas, eventually those areas will incorporate if we don't bring them into the city.
Yeah, well, and that's going to be a choice that it's going to be forced on. I don't mean forced on a negative way, but they're going to be forced to deal with that question here in the next year or so, especially if that legislation passes.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, but they're going to have to make that decision. And I wonder, it was a pretty frank discussion. Councilman Williams was on with Dalton and I the other day and said Darby Creek is coming in. He said it's like a revenue neutral or a couple dollars to the city. But he said, don't expect tons of that without retail. I mean, he was just frank about it. He said there's got to be a component in it to make it worth the city bringing them in. And then I can picture from that what kind of crazy gerrymander lines you would have to be able to bring in this neighborhood because it has retail by it, but this other one is out. You know, a part of the county that's closer to the old city limit is not in the city limit, but there's an area farther out that's gerrymandered in. I mean, it's going to be strange.
You don't have to think too hard to remember.
Yeah, the Walmart.
Done, and the last time when Jones brought in a bunch of things, it was gerrymandered like crazy to bring in all sorts of businesses and cherry-pick various communities that they wanted in. And so, I mean, those things are if you look at what was brought in at that point, it's all over the place. And, you know, it's funny, back then we weren't hearing a lot of noise about it's got to have this or it's got to have that or we're not going to let people in. I think the realities of it are that we've been covering this area from a police standpoint for years. So the concept that, like, well, we're not going to have enough police to do it, we've been covering these areas. It's not. We've just pulled back recently. And, you know, if you want annexation, if the mayor's ultimate goal was annexation, it's been kind of a brilliant move because all of a sudden now you have all these people clamoring to come in the city. I haven't seen this. And, I mean, we've been in business 17 years covering the city, and I've never seen it.
There it is. All right. Once again, Rob Holbert with Landyap. New issue is out now, and if you want to take advantage of Restaurant Week, you got to pick up a copy, right?
Get out there, folks. It's a lot of good stuff and a lot of good deals, and you'll be happy to check out some of these restaurants and make some new favorites.
All right. Great stuff, man. We'll check in with you next week.
All right, y'all have a great weekend.
All right, will do. Rob Holbert with Landyap, and we're going to wrap it up here on a Thursday, back in 3 for Midday Mobile. And Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Remember to check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. While you're there, grab a podcast or two.
Got a bunch of them.
They listen to them. People say they listen to them as they exercise.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to pick up the pace. More beats per minute in our shows. So, all right, we'll see y'all at noon. Mike Gallagher next.